welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of scandals coming to light today. Arctic Frost just gets more and more insane the more and more you learn about it. Spying on Republicans, senators, congressmen. You got to wonder what was done with that information once they got it. We got other stuff to talk about here. We are going to be joined a little bit later this hour by Brandon Morello to really break down what Arctic Frost entailed and, you know, all the crap they got away with and are getting away with up to this point. There's a lot of other news that I would like to talk about as well. In fact, I'd like to go to clip number 14 here. This was a call to action that Alex came up with on the show, actually, with the help of a caller. And I actually think this is a very brilliant idea, and I'll explain why. I see some people counter-signaling this, but I think you don't see it if you're watching Alex's show. He's like, he has this vision where he's like, this is it. I completely agree. And people are already picking up the baton here and running with it. This is a friend of the show, Michael Graves, very talented musician, clip number 14. Here's him, making a video, just like Alex Jones suggested that we do. Here's the way that Republicans can really make the most out of this government shutdown and the looming specter of the end of SNAP benefits. Here's Michael Graves.
So come November 1st, which is just in a couple of days here, the EBT and SNAP benefits are not going to be refilled because of the circumstances surrounding the federal government shutdown. People are going to need help. People are anxious. People are scared, wondering how they're going to feed their families, if they're going to be able to feed their kids. So what I recommend, what I suggest, what I'm doing, what my family's going to do is find a local food bank and donate to them. Go buy a bag of rice. Go get a couple of cans of food, as much as you can, and bring it to your local food bank. Flood those banks with food so that we can help everybody who's going to need help get through what we need to get through. Go to the store, get some stuff, find a local food bank right now, and make a donation. Maybe volunteer to help. Flood the food banks with food right now.
So that was a great video by Michael Graves. You can follow him at Radio Deadly on X. And I reposted this, and I saw some people going, oh, you know, why should we want to help the welfare queens and all this sort of stuff? And I agree with that, but that's not what this is. First of all, a lot of the SNAP abuse that goes on, the 40 million people, they aren't actually hungry. They sell their SNAP benefits sometimes to stores. Basically, you know, in fact, I've got a video to explain this that I'll go to in just a second. So half the time they're not even getting the food. They're selling the SNAPs and then doing their hair and nails with it, with the money. Also, SNAP, you're buying soda and Doritos and all this gross stuff. Like, if somebody's going to a food bank and receiving a bag of rice, they're not the bad guys, okay? That's just how it is. Like, if you're filling up your cart with $500 worth of stuff you haven't earned to feed the 9 kids that you popped out without having a job or a father in the picture, like, okay, you have made your own choices and have to live with those. But for most people, yeah, there he is. You know, it's like you think it's the people that like to pretend to be mean are actually the nicest ones. You ever notice that? You ever notice it's people that dress up in the skull makeup and the, you know, they look scary. They're the exact ones that will actually defend the innocent and give to charities. And it's the people that it's the Bill Gateses and their nice pink sweaters that are actually just seething in resentment and hate of the rest of humanity. So, yeah, look, if you're giving money or if you're giving food to a food bank, that food bank is not going to be giving that food out to people who don't deserve it, don't want it. They actually have more of a, you know, desire to make sure it goes to where it's supposed to be going because they're not the government just giving out money to whoever, you know, demands it. And if you're giving food, then that's what the people are receiving. They're not receiving gobs of money to do with whatever they want. They're getting a bag of rice to feed their children. And isn't that what the purpose of charity is all about? I think it's a great movement.
In my kitchen, I cook what's Nutrition's pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWar.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
Tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're already into the second hour of The War Room, and you know what I haven't even mentioned once?
Charlotte knows.
We have a new product, folks. We have an incredible new product. We have a new product that superpowers the rest of our products. This is the supplement that supplements could take, would take, if supplements could take supplements. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the supplement. It's Methylene Red, folks. It's Methylene Red. It's brand new, formulated by us, for you. Ultra Methylene Red, now on sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Brand new product formulated by us and designed specifically to maximize and really supercharge the effects of Methylene Blue. And you can save 50% on Ultra Methylene Red if you subscribe to it. They're trying to fog your brain, slow your synapses, and turn you into a compliant zombie. But Ultra Methylene Red just dropped at thealexjonesstore.com, and it's the ultimate brain weapon to fight back. This isn't some weak, watered-down multivitamin. This is clinical-grade, bioavailable brain armor, a full-spectrum methylation and mitochondrial strike force engineered for maximum cognitive firepower, both as a standalone tincture and as a Methylene Blue super enhancer. You want to know how I read all of those incredible words right there without messing up even once? Because I personally have already taken two doses of Ultra Methylene Red. I actually have. And it's actually great. I actually felt it sort of right off the bat. And it's very similar to the Ultra B12 that we used to have. It has actually all of the same ingredients as that Ultra 12 tincture, but even more. And you really got to go and check this out for yourself, especially if you're a fan of Ultramethylene Blue. This is going to superpower that. We call it going purple. You're going to go purple. It's when you're so focused, you're like writing entire books when you're supposed to be sleeping. That's going purple on us. So get it now. Get it now, folks. The red and the blue combined. Ultramethylene Red now on sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. That's thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Order it now. Subscribe and get 50% off Ultramethylene Red. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. I have to admit, it's not quite as pretty as Ultramethylene Blue, but that's not a fair comparison, since Ultramethylene Blue straight up looks like a magic potion. It looks like, something you'd see in a sci-fi. It looks like the juice they drink to become gods in Dune, right? So it's really spectacular. But the Ultramethylene Blue, Ultramethylene Red, rather, certainly packs a punch. And I can tell you that from personal experience. Let's go to clip 10 here, because this is what I was talking about in the last segment. And this wasn't as widespread. Yeah, here it is. Ultramethylene Red. Ooh, I bet we can get a lot of good imagery out of the red. Out of the red meme. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go there today. So I didn't realize how widespread this was. I mean, I always knew this was a thing that people would do, selling their, SNAP and EBT. But in the last round of like TikTok videos I've seen about it, like now that it's one of those things where once you start looking for it, you see it everywhere. I've seen so many videos now where they just sort of casually will drop this. People are just like, oh, well, the ladies aren't going to look so good now that they can't sell their SNAP benefits and do their hair and nails. And it's like, okay, so this is just an understood thing. This isn't like, oh, some people do this, some people run a racket. The way I hear people talk about it is it's just understood, acknowledged, and ubiquitous that this is the way food stamps are used. This is the way SNAP benefits are consumed by a huge portion of Americans. Let's go to clip number 10 now.
Hi, I'm going to keep it a buck with y'all. Like, the real reason why a lot of people are upset about this whole food stamps, SNAP benefit thing, bro, is because they're selling their food stamps, bro. They're selling them. I'm telling you, they are selling their food stamps, bro. You know how many people in New York and other states right now are going to the corner store, the deli, and they're selling their food stamps, bro? They're selling, that's why they're getting like $4,000, $3,000 in food stamps, and they're selling it for cash. They'll get $4,000 in food stamps, and they'll just take like $1,000 in cash. Like, bro, like that's happening like everywhere. That's why they're mad. That is exactly why they're mad right now. And you know the thing about it too? They will never admit to selling their food stamps. But it's happening.
And again, it seems like a fairly open secret as far as I can tell. And this is just the way it works. You get a $4,000 EBT account. You go to the corner store. The corner store receives that $4,000, gives you $1,000. They've just made $3,000. You've just made $1,000. And the American people are out $4,000. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that nice how that works? Now, a lot of states are reacting to this in different ways, and it sort of depends on what type of state government rules your locality. And would it surprise you to know that the Republican governors are handling this significantly better than the Democrat governors, that the Republican governors are concerned about actually serving and helping their people, while the Democrat governors are a little bit more interested in causing pain and suffering in their constituents, because that's the fuel they run on? Remember, human suffering is the fuel to the Democrats' automobile. That's what drives them. Without people being miserable and hateful and jealous and full of envy, then they don't get votes. When people are responsible and self-sufficient and upstanding, they don't need the government helping them out. So let's go to clip number 12 here. There's a little overview of just how some Republican versus Democrat governors are dealing with the idea that their state may not be receiving SNAP benefits in the very near future. Let's watch.
Never seen a more potent display of the difference between Republicans and Democrats than what you're about to see.
To not pay the military, to not pay TSA, to not pay air traffic controllers, and to interrupt SNAP benefits for Virginians most in need.
Glenn Youngkin, Republican governor of Virginia.
For benefits like
watch
SNAP
this.
To run
pay
out.
Attention
so
to
he
this.
He says the state will pick up the bill for meal assistance.
The state of Virginia is going to step in and cover the benefits for
why?
A while. We have the financial resources to do it for a while, not forever.
Meanwhile,
wow, they have the financial resources to do it. You know why? Because they have all of our revenue. We have sent all of our revenue to Virginia. Their coffers are full with our revenue. Now, compare what Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin is doing. He's going to make sure that those people have SNAP, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background on that. Compare that to Governor Moore. This is Governor Moore, Democrat Governor of Maryland, how he's approaching this.
Moore put out a statement. He says the Trump administration hasn't guaranteed states will be reimbursed for covering federal expenses like food benefits, which has been the case during previous shutdowns. The governor says, quote, we will continue to do everything in our power to ensure the federal government follows the law and provides funding for the critical services that our families, our children, and our veterans rely on.
Now, this is interesting, and I've been telling you this for the longest time. Democrats are not your friends. For those people, oh, the Democrats are helping us. I have been telling you, if you listen to my program, I've been telling you over and over and over again, when you people are like, oh, well, we're going to provide expanded SNAP benefits and we're going to pay your rent and everything, they do that for moments like this. This is why they push those things because this is leverage. Like, the Democrats have explicitly said this is leverage. And in a case where you have a Republican governor in Virginia, his priority is like, look, these people need these benefits. Let's get them fed. Governor Moore is thinking, how do we blame this on Trump? How do we leverage this? And I think there's another layer to this, by the way. You know, I didn't even get to this. I personally feel like the Democrats are really twisting the knife, and they're mad at black people for not showing up for Kamala Harris. I promise you that's part of this. And so they feel like, oh, well, you guys get the, and you can already see on the people are talking about this. Well, you guys voted for this. They want to make sure this hurts because it's related to Trump. That's the difference between Republicans and Democrats. Republicans generally, now again, I can't speak for all situations. They want to get the job done. The other thing I want to point out here is the fiscal situation. Now, Maryland is in no financial situation to be picking up any tabs. We've pretty much run through the surplus, the $5 billion surplus that Governor Hogan left us with. Westmore turned it into a $3 billion deficit. They've barely been able to claw out of that with the ton of taxes and fees that have chased our revenue down to Virginia. This is why forward-thinking executive leadership matters. A Republican governor is going to make sure their people are getting snapped. The Democrat governor is going to make sure you suffer all so that they can score political points. You decide for yourself what that.
Yeah, very, very concise breakdown. And I, you know, you can ignore this stuff to your own detriment, but it's a constant. You understand that, right? It is a constant thing that Republicans, whether you like them or not, whether like what they're even doing is in line with their own moral compunction or not, like they'll do it because they understand when they take an oath of office, when they're appointed to a role like governor, that they do represent everybody. And even if, you know, Glenn Youngkin personally thinks that people shouldn't be on SNAP, he understands that his role as governor is to provide for the people and that a lot of people are on SNAP and you need to handle that. Not so with Democrats, just like we always explain. If they get a position of power, it's just about how that power can be used to help them. And if that means hurting their own people in order to win political points against Donald Trump, then that's what they're going to do. And whether it's because they're, you know, evil or incompetent, sort of beside the point. The outcome is the same. You know, they could want to support SNAP and just literally cannot figure out how to do that. That is a possibility. But the reality is they cause suffering and then they blame other people and then they get votes because of that. And that's just how they have existed as a party for their entire existence. So, again, Glenn Youngkin, Republican, probably not, he probably doesn't love SNAP as a program, but he's upholding it. He's keeping it running while Democrat governors allow it to close down. Does that mean anything to anybody? Like, anybody out there want to notice that this is sort of a constant thing with these people? It's almost always the Democrats who are just failing to deliver on any of their promises or uphold the oaths that they took or fulfill the responsibilities of their office. They just constantly use it and abuse it to whatever ends they imagine, completely at odds with the well-being of their constituents. Whereas Republicans, as bad as some of them are, you could at least trust a Republican to do what's right. Like that's sort of how it goes to me. Like if you're like a shop owner and there's an emergency and you got to run, but you can't afford to shut your shop. So there's just some guy in the store and you go, sir, I need you to take care of my store for 20 minutes while I do this. The Republican is the guy that goes, okay, will do, and sits behind the counter and rings people up and puts stuff back on the shelves and goes, hey, you wanted me to run the store? I'm running the store. The Democrat goes, oh, I'm going to call all my friends. We're going to loot the hell out of the store. Yeah, I'll take care of your store for you. Don't worry about it. For sure I will. I'm going to get so much money out of the cash register. Like, it's just one side actually believes in the responsibilities of the office and wants to fulfill them to the best of their ability, even if it's done in a way that is specific to them and informed by their beliefs, they still fulfill the function. The Democrats are not capable or willing to fulfill the function. They only use it to their own ends. I don't want to just hammer that home over and over, but like it's every day. It's constant. It's absolutely constant. Me waiting for people to start talking about looting because this time I'm in. Yeah, I just, you know, What was Trump's turn of phrase? Looters get shooters. What was it? You loot, we shoot. I think that's what you loot, we shoot. That should be available at the Alex Jones. We need signs for store owners. You loot, we shoot. Come on by. come on by. Bring your actual money, not your SNAP benefits or your crowbars. Okay. Glad we settled on this. Now, enough people recognize the reality of this situation. They recognize that it is, in fact, the Democrats keeping the government shut down. It is, in fact, their outrageous demands that are causing any suffering that you see as a consequence of the shutdown. And again, this message seems to be getting out. Clip 13, this is CNN reporting about how politics has been affected by the latest government shutdown. Let's watch.
Starting with Republicans, how has the shutdown seemed to have affected their political standing?
Yeah, you might think, given that the Republicans are in charge of both the House and the Senate, that a government shutdown might actually hurt the Republican brand. But in fact, it hasn't. If anything, it's been helped a little bit. Take a look here, the shift in net popularity versus pre-shutdown. Among the when we're looking at the Republican Party overall, that brand actually up 2 points. That's within the margin of error, but clearly it hasn't dropped. Come over to this side of the screen. Look at the net approval ratings for Republicans in Congress. It's actually up 5 points since pre-shutdown. So what we're seeing here is the Republican brand in Congress has actually improved somewhat compared to where we were pre-shutdown, despite the fact that Republicans control. And that's the math that John Thune and Mike Johnson are looking at is, well, hey, why should we give an electorally speaking when our brand has actually improved a little bit?
Now, we say their position is getting better. With whom?
Yeah, okay, with whom? So I think it's two groups that it's so important to keep an eye on. All right, changing the Republican Congress's net approval rating versus pre-shutdown. It's rallying the base for sure. Look at this, the net approval rating up 12 points versus pre-shutdown. But it's not just with the base. It's also with the middle of the electorate. Look at this, among independents. It's up 8 points as well. So we've got a situation here where Republicans with the shutdown are actually rallying their base, but it's also something that's not hurting them with the folks in the middle. If anything, it's helping them with folks in the middle. And this is the type of math that if you're Republicans, you like to see, right? Because something could rally the base but alienate those in the middle, or something could rally those in the middle but alienate the base. But the truth is, we're not seeing that. What we're seeing is the Republican brand has actually gotten better among independents, and it's also gotten better among Republicans as well, that Republican brand when it comes to those in Congress. So again, what's the electoral reason that Republicans would give in at this point?
And Democrats, of course, they have their eyes on the midterm elections. Yeah, we have elections 1 week from today, but what Democrats in Congress are mostly focused on are 1 year and 1 week from today from the midterm. So how do Democrats, how are they positioned right now?
Yeah, so I mean, look, the general congressional ballot, which traditionally Democrats have done really well on, and if you look at this point back when Trump was president the first time around, Democrats were up 11 points. Look at where it is now. Democrats are ahead, but they're actually only up 3 points. This is, in fact, the worst position Democrats have been on in a generic ballot at this point in midterm when there was a Republican president in the last 20 years. And this is no different from pre-shutdown. So Republicans aren't losing on this metric either. They become more popular, and they're actually in a pretty good position for them historically when it comes to the generic congressional ballot.
This is a concerning number for Democrats, are you saying?
This is a concerning number for Democrats because it's considerably worse than they traditionally do in midterm elections when there's a Republican president.
Harry N., thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend.
So, I mean, the Democrats are in shambles. Democrats proposed a bill to protect SNAP and WIC amid shutdown. They are holding out for health care for illegal immigrants. I mean, the whole thing is hilarious, honestly. I mean, it's just these people, man. Yeah, there you go. That's the truth. We just want you happy and healthy and maybe a little bit drunk. All right. Democrats want you looting the stop and go. All right, I got more politics and stuff to talk about, but I actually want to cover Grokkipedia now, because Elon Musk released the alternative to Wikipedia, Fighting the Woke, the anti-woke alternative to Wikipedia, and people are doing a little comparing and contrasting. So Grokkipedia was released today, and people are searching particularly hot button political topics and finding the or comparing the coverage from Wikipedia and Grok. When it comes to the Hunter Biden laptop, Wikipedia frames Hunter Biden laptop as a controversy that, quote, Trump tried to use to hurt Biden's campaign, and frames the censorship of this as skepticism. Grokkipedia is much more thorough and unbiased. It cites censorship immediately, discusses the chain of evidence, uses 100-plus sources, and details the impact of the story on other events, including presidential polling, without picking a side. Same event, two narratives, one spins, the other explains. And, you know, this is one of the frustrating parts about Wikipedia, or just any mainstream media for that matter, is they will frame things like this. Trump attempted to turn the story into an October surprise to hurt Joe Biden's campaign by falsely alleging that while in office, Biden had acted corruptly regarding Ukraine to protect his son. Of course, he admitted that. It's literally on video. But they can just frame it as this. And it's important, you know, the framing of this, the way it's presented, it's like as important as the information itself, because people can't really think for themselves. We've been shown over and over again. So if you say, you know, Trump used the Hunter Biden laptop to his benefit, it's like, yeah, duh, why wouldn't he? But they want to frame that as a bad thing. They want to frame it like this incredibly damning evidence of the endless crimes or just basic bad character of Hunter Biden comes to light, involving his father with direct connections to Joe Biden. And you don't want him to use that. And so him using that isn't being presented as Hunter Biden had this crazy evidence came out and it affected the presidential election. It's Trump attempted to use this to get what he wanted. And it's just like, it's so dishonest, but it's so subtly dishonest. It's kind of even more disgusting than just outright lying about it. Meanwhile, from Grok, a July 2023 poll commissioned by the Media Research Center found that 79% of Americans believed the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop story affected the 2020 presidential election, with 91% of Republicans, 82% of independents, and 69% of Democrats agreeing that fuller coverage would have likely led to a victory for Donald Trump. It's just absolutely true. Okay, so on Hunter Biden laptop, victory goes to Grok. What about COVID-19? Well, according to Wikipedia, conspiracy theorists claim COVID-19 was leaked from a lab. Grokopedia, on the other hand, says experts are split. Here are the sources for the House report on the lab leak and scientific sentiment studies. Wow, I'm genuinely impressed, says author McWaters. I will literally never use Wikipedia again. Grokpedia is clearly so much more factual and unbiased and easier to read source documents. And this is only version 0.1. So yeah, from origin of SARS-CoV-2 from Wikipedia says, yes, this was likely came transmitted to humans via other animals in nature or during wildlife bushmeat trade, such as in food markets. While other explanations, such as speculation that SARS-CoV-2 was accidentally released from a laboratory, have been proposed, yeah, you know, like the House committee that investigated it, like the scientists that were in charge of it. I mean, it's not just that we know the lab leak theory is legitimate. We also know the way that Fauci and others collaborated with the media to hide that reality and lie about the source of SARS-CoV-2. So it's not like, it's not even like the lab leak theory is a theory. It's absolutely confirmed, and their criminal knowledge of that and the concealment of that is also confirmed in their own words from their own emails. So Wikipedia is just lying to you, and Grok is telling you the truth. Say scientific sentiment surveys indicate support for natural origin among virologists, but early dismissal of lab leak as conspiratorial, often by researchers with ties to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, suggests institutional biases may skew consensus. That's a nice way of putting it. Maybe we need our own. It's like Grok's good, but can somebody just turn Alex Jones into AI? That's what we really need. When you look up SARS-CoV-2, it should just say what we all know. If InfoWars had a Wikipedia and you looked at SARS-CoV-2, it would say, COVID-19 was created in a lab on purpose by Anthony Fauci at the CIA in collaboration with the squad to release on purpose as part of a long-standing plan to enslave humanity. That's the reality. That's the truth. And you should hear what they say about George Floyd, too. Who do you think is more honest about George Floyd?
I'm going to say this right now. We have survived and battled the federal and state courts, the Democratic Party, the whole nine yards. And we have great products, and I appreciate all your support. But 70%+ of the money that comes in is the legal cost. If we didn't have those battles going, we'd be 24 hours a day, as I've always planned, and totally kicking ass. But it's part of the cost of the fight in this information war, and I appreciate you keeping us here. But with everything going on, we've got about a $300,000 underage right now and need to have the money for payroll and bandwidth and all the things we're doing. This is, and it's not a Chicken Little thing or a the sky's falling, or boy, you're crying wolf. You've seen the attacks, you've seen the news, you've seen us battling, you know, God, you know, pulls us out right at the last minute. And I know we're going to get massive support of the successful shutting this down. People are going to be, whoa. But regardless, the products are insane. But at InfoWarsStore.com, with the bankruptcy and the receiver, they don't let us get a lot of new product, all that. We have the collectible limited edition Save InfoWars posters. We have a chance at an auction next month with the state. If they don't let it be a real auction, the good guys can't buy InfoWars, we'll be shut down. And I just want to fight to the end, and whatever happens, happens. But we have the collectible posters for $25, unsigned, $100 signed. That's a lot of money, I know. It's, the point is, it's a fundraiser. You're opting in to do that. It's beautiful posters, three of them. But if you want to just give a straight donation, on the front page of InfoWarsStore.com, you can just give a straight donation. The credit card fees are like 4% for us, and then we get 96% of the money to actually run the operation. So we're winning in court. We're having a lot of big effects. I'm not going to spend hours explaining it all to you, but we're down to the last round here right now, and we need the funds. And you know the show delivers the truth. It has a major effect. We influence the White House, creating a lot of good stuff happening. It's a valuable thing in the info war to keep on air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com, and I'm asking you humbly for a straight donation, $5, $50, $100. Give a straight donation if you want. Or if you want one of the posters, signed or unsigned, as a memento that you stood up for the Republic at a key time. We got a little bit of the fish oil back in, a little bit of the bodies back in. That's selling out quickly. The receiver let us do that. But none of this goes to the plaintiffs. None of this goes to the bad guys. It's literally in the red right now, okay, with what we got projected in the next month. I need the funds now. Please make a donation. This is the critical time. TheAlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. If InfoWars gets shut down, that's our sponsor for the new network. That's already been built, but it's also funding InfoWars, and there's not enough coming in. So you can support either way. TheAlexJonesStore.com, the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish CMOS, the bovine colostrum, all the t-shirts, that's great. But if you want to straight up support, know it all goes to it, make a donation or get one of the posters at InfoWarsStore.com. It's up to you. Please take action now.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screens got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired. A blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind is a lot. Nah, this is designed. Ultimate power. Feel it surge in your veins. Locked in focus, laser brain. Breaking out the chains. Ultimate power.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined in studio by the one and only Brianna Morello. You can, of course, follow her on X at Brianna Morello and see her every weekday morning on American Journal, 8 to 11 a.m. here on InfoWars. Brianna, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting to be here. And we're learning a little bit more about the lawfare that was used in the last administration.
More and more and more. We keep finding more out about just how criminal the previous regime truly was. What have we found out here? Have you been able to dig into some of the revelations about Arctic Frost, and what have you found?
Yeah, well, the House Judiciary Committee just dropped this. Chairman Jim Jordan's office is sending this over, and it's about 198 pages worth of just new documents that are being released. And a lot of it's already what we've known for a very long time now, that obviously the special prosecutor Jack Smith's office was targeting individuals very close to President Trump, and even people who weren't close to President Trump, who maybe just might have been organizing events, they were targeted too in all of this. The names are pretty consistent. People we've told you about before: Mark Meadows, Steve Bannon, Scott Perry, Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark, John Eastman. Some new names, though. Ed Martin, which is the president's now pardon attorney and one who's in charge of the weaponization over at the DOJ as well.
Right.
He might have been under investigation. It's hard to tell from some of these documents. Also, a good friend of mine who sadly passed away a couple of months ago, Bernard Carrick's name appears on this list as well. So it looks like even Hope Hicks is on this list too. Oh, it wow. looks like there's a bunch of people who are being named now on this. We don't know how long this was taking place or if they were really going about getting criminal charges filed against these individuals. We just see that their names are now populated in these documents.
And since the names are in the documents, that means they were being spied on or they were having their calls surveilled or call logs monitored.
Yeah, that they were being looked into whether they were communicating with the White House or President Trump directly to see about the election challenge. Now, again, Bernard Carrick was working with Rudy Giuliani, and I could tell you this in detail. I mean, they were going state to state trying to get the states to step in on the election fraud allegations. And so there's really no reason to have him here because he was also somebody who was helping with the legal challenge.
Right.
They didn't like the lawyers, though, so they were going after the lawyers, as you could tell. Also, John Eastman being on that list. There's 45 individuals who were under investigation for Arctic Frost. And the interesting part in all of this, they actually use the FBI field offices as well. So although they'll tell you that they stayed away from all of that, no, no, no. The FBI field offices were also conducting interviews. There are several documents that list just that.
Yeah, and as I read, I mean, it seems like it was the FBI that started this. I mean, the FBI field office, they say, requested the senior official's authorization. So it was Chris Wray who wrote this memo, sent it to Merrick Garland, who's, I guess, underling, encouraged him to sign it. So he signed off on this. And then it was handed off to Jack Smith, right? So this wasn't Jack Smith starting off. This was the FBI starting off this investigation.
Yeah, it needed all three of their permission, the AG, the deputy AG, and the FBI director. And it looks like, according to Chuck Grassley's office, who dropped that document, I believe it was last week as well, all three of them had to sign off on it before this kicked off. So yeah, this was obviously well orchestrated.
Yeah.
And all the key players who we've already known about are all involved in this.
Yeah, and I'm just confused by it. Maybe you can help me wrap my mind around this, because so far I've seen that sort of the justification for this surveillance is they were looking into, quote, an apparent effort to obstruct Congress's certification of the Electoral College. And I already went off on this a while on the show, but that's not a crime as far as I can tell. So how did they justify this if there's no underlying crime? Or am I missing something?
We're all missing something. It's not just you. I mean, okay. I'm sitting here reading it and I'm writing people I'm like who are on this list. And I'm like, hey, you know, I don't see a crime here they're alleging against you. Am I missing like a home run? I asked one of the attorneys listed on here and he said, no, you're not actually missing anything. Everything wow. that you're seeing right now is accurate and you're kind of right for not seeing the crime here. It's interesting to note too, Doug Mastriano is also on this list as well. I probably should have mentioned that. He was running for Pennsylvania governor as well. He's someone who obviously does a lot of events for election fraud. I know he appeared a couple of times over at Mike Lindell's events as well. But I kind of want to get back to the Jeff Clark angle on all of this because ultimately, Jeff Clark is still dealing with the lawfare. They're trying to disbar him in Washington, D.C. Bill Barr stepped in on that one, which kind of shocked me. So did the DOJ as well. They're trying to stop that from happening. But they knew that Jeff Clark didn't commit a crime. And we now have the documents to back it up. They allege that Jeff Clark wrote a letter that was supposed to get sent over to Georgia outlining the allegations of potential election fraud. That's what he was focused on. Now, hear me out. DOJ was receiving a lot of tips regarding election fraud in 2020. Bill Barr stopped all of that.
Right.
So what was supposed to happen at the time, and it's great to see Bill Barr stepping in and saving Jeff, though, what was supposed to happen at the time is there were rumors that President Trump was going to get rid of Bill Barr and put Jeff Clark in his position so that he could investigate the election fraud because Bill Barr was actively standing in the way.
Yeah.
So as a result of all of that, they went after Bill Barr. They went after Jeff Clark.
Yeah,
they now still to this day are trying to disbar him. They raided his home. They indicted him in Fulton County as well, even though that letter was never sent. That's what these new documents say. The letter was never sent. President Trump stepped in and said, I'm not going to do that. Let's not send it over to Georgia, warning them of potential election fraud. Leave it alone. But they still to this day have been targeting Jeff Clark over that letter that was never sent.
Wow. And, I remember when Bill Barr was stepping in and going, don't worry, we'll investigate this, and then just not investigating at all. And I remember specifically, I think it was the AG of Pennsylvania was investigating it. And he came in and Bill Barr came in and shut that whole thing down. Unless I'm mistaken, maybe it's Jeff Clark I'm thinking of. But I think it was the AG of Pennsylvania was also looking into this. So, I mean, Bill Barr shut down the investigations into the claims of fraud during the election. So we didn't get any, official information, no official investigation, no official statements other than, no, it never happened, safest election of all time, until January 6th, when it was sort of our last ditch moment to get that 10-day investigation. That was like the last, the final effort to try to get somebody to look into these claims. Now we're learning that behind the scenes, they weren't just ignoring or shutting down the investigations into these claims. They were personally targeting the people doing the investigations.
Yeah, and that's what you see outlined right here. All the people that were involved in this, everyone who had some type of role in just trying to see if there was election fraud, I mean, they are on this list. And it's not even people who may have done something criminal. It's people who have wanted to go about the legal route of challenging the election. And, you know, you're mentioning the AG, what was happening under Bill Barr over at the over at the DOJ at the time. The FBI actively was shutting down any tips that came in as well. There was a supervisor who I spoke to who wanted to stay anonymous, but pretty much told me that in emails after J6, he actually sent an email back saying, hey, we're getting all these election fraud tips in. What do you want us to do with this? Because my agents are asking to investigate it. And because he put that in writing, the next day he was asked to pack up his stuff and to leave. Whoa. After spending years over at the FBI. So he was forced into retirement for simply asking what to do with all these tips.
For acknowledging that there were tips, because then they couldn't say, no, we didn't get any tips because he sent that email. They now have to acknowledge, yes, there were tips, and they have to come up with a reason. Wow, and so he was fired, huh?
He was fired, yeah, because he leaves a paper trail as a FOIA bill, so I could have freedom of information requested those emails, which I'm sure they would have buried, and had those contacts and been able to read through it.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of so much other stuff. You know, one thing I was just talking about is the fact that, you know, Anthony Fauci and these other people went out and said, you know, we need to counter this narrative, and it's like, okay, that's just evidence of their foreknowledge. So when you have the FBI, if they were not corrupt, then they get, you know, complaints of fraudulence, they would look into it. The fact that they already have a decision made before they even hear the complaint shows that they know more than they're telling. Does that make sense?
It does. They knew exactly what was going on behind the scenes, and they wanted nothing to do with the investigation because likely they were in on the fraud. I mean, there's no other way to angle any of this. The fact that they were going after people and they wanted to send a clear message before they knew there was any crimes committed, which there were none, but before they could do any of that, they went after his lawyers. I mean, even Jenna Ellis is listed on here as well. Jenna Ellis, John Eastman, obviously Rudy Giuliani. I mean, people who were listed in all of this, who were obviously, even Christina Bobb, another attorney for President Trump, all of his lawyers were targeted in all of this. And this list is extremely extensive. Now, why would they do this? Well, they do this to get you to never challenge an election ever again. If they make you the main target in all of this, you'll never challenge anything. You'll never talk about election fraud. You'll never target these people. And so that's what you see laid out here. Do you see these people who are intentionally being targeted by the federal government, by the deep state operatives, because they want to make sure moving forward, not a single candidate for any position ever challenges an election or could find legal representation to help them in that challenge?
Yeah, and I remember after January 6th, they went back and said, yeah, we're going to undo that rule where you get, you know, this day or this 10-day investigative period if you want to object. They said, well, we're not going to do that anymore. So now, you know, there is no ability for the representatives to call anything out. So if you can get the DOJ to ignore claims of election fraud, then you're home free, essentially. There's nothing anybody can do to reverse the proclaimed decision, even if it's proven to be fraudulent.
Yeah, that's why I want to interview with Bill Barr, because I want to figure out why he stood in the way. I mean, three times election fraud tips were shut down on his end, where he personally, according to my sources, and jumped on calls with these people and tried to get them to stop talking about it altogether. He literally told them to shut it down and stop.
Right.
And so he was really one of the key people who did not want any of this exposed.
And that again, you know, so much of this stuff, it's like, okay, yes, this is all terrible, but it's also all built on top of the real crime, which was the stolen election of 2020. So again, it's like, you know, we were joking before we went live, and I was saying on the show, it's like, okay, it's like we found another dead body of a serial killer, and it's like, how many more do we need? At what point do we have enough information to go after these people in a real, tangible way? Is what was revealed today, is this a real substantial step in that direction? Or is this just more information for information's sake, do you think?
I'm not going to oversell it to you. I'm going to shoot straight. I think it's more information. Nothing's going to be done. I'm really disappointed right now with the DOJ. I keep asking questions, not getting any answers. I don't think that there's any true answers here where they're going to go after these people. You know, the good news, though, is I think President Trump sees it. You know, my sources tell me that the AG over in Missouri was shifted over. Bailey was shifted over to the FBI as a co-deputy director, not because he's actually working for the FBI, but probably because he's warming up in the bullpen to be thrown into the DOJ in case they don't start making these indictments and start going after these key people, because the president understands he has a very limited window at this point. And so I do believe that Bailey's up next, according to my sources who are in his office before he exited and went over to the FBI. He let his office know that probably within the next 6 months, he'll be making his way over to the Department of Justice, and he's bringing them with him.
Well, good, because, yeah, as you point out, I mean, we have very little, we always had very little time, and that time is rapidly vanishing. This is another release. There have been a bunch of releases from the House GOP today. This is another one, House Judiciary GOP. New documents prove Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney were working hand-in-hand with Jack Smith. The partisan J6 committee provided transcripts, documents, and text messages, all to take down President Trump and his associates. And, of course, what they did with the January 6th committee, I think, was criminal on the face of it, because it was, for all intents and purposes, a show trial. I mean, they brought up evidence to present like they were prosecuting a criminal case, only the defendant wasn't there and didn't get to present any evidence of their own. And apparently these people were working hand in hand with Jack Smith to provide information about that. Do you think we're going to see any justice for the January 6th committee in there? In my opinion, just flagrantly un-American and unconstitutional activity.
Well, I hope their pardon gets tossed, because they don't deserve a pardon, and obviously that was AutoPen. Mm-hmm. I'd like to also say, too, a lot of the evidence that they presented during their public hearings wasn't actual evidence. They showed a gun, which they said was a gun, but it wasn't a real gun, during their first day of their public hearing, and it was intentionally meant to tilt the scales against the Oath Keepers, because they knew a lot of this evidence that they were presenting would never make its way into a courtroom because it wasn't credible. Now, also keep in mind, too, they don't have to go the same legal routes that Jack Smith would have to go to obtain text messages and phone call records, because they aren't criminal investigators. They're just a congressional committee. And so what we saw is all of these people, including Adam Kinzinger, grab all of these phone records and everything that they could. And then they tried, we don't know if the FBI ever took it, but he tried right before the election to give it over to the FBI as evidence. Now, again, they can't do that, but they did it anyway, because they are the real criminals. They are treasonous pigs. They need to be held accountable.
Wow. And speaking of phone logs, Alex Jones is mentioned in this story on page 72. And he's not one of the people that they have warrants for, although I guess they're not even really warrants. They're just subpoenas. But he wasn't named in this yet. His name shows up because they have Alex Jones's cell phone as the role that this guy was playing. In other words, he turned over Alex Jones' cell phone. Do we know anything else about how his cell phone was used, who was looking at it, how they got a hold of it, anything like
that? Nope, I haven't seen anything come forward yet. Hopefully we could find out something soon, though, but there was nothing in there that was citing that at all.
Still seems like a pretty egregious violation of the Fourth Amendment and warrantless search and seizure if you can get somebody's all of the information on their phone without ever actually charging them with the crime. And this is what they do, right? Merrick Garland came out and made this big statement about Tim Pool and Tenant Media and all this stuff. Those people were never accused of a crime. In fact, they were cleared of the crimes they were investigated for. But it's like the process is the punishment. They can investigate you if they find something good. If not, they just, you know, it doesn't matter. You can go back in Jack Smith's history. The only thing he did before he was appointed here was he ruined a politician in Virginia's life with totally fake claims and accusations against him, because they put the guy through the legal ringer, and eventually the decisions were overturned by the appellate court. But by that point, the guy's had his reputation ruined. So it seems like they were trying to do something like that. There was no underlying crime. There was no sort of ultimate court case at the end of this. They were just using the power they had in whatever way they could to try to get information to better, you know, defeat the Republicans. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, no, that seems absolutely fair. And I think that's what's going on here. I think that they tried their very best to get any type of charge that could get stick. The ultimate goal here is, I asked one of the attorneys who's on the list as well for Arctic Frost, I said, well, what do you think they were trying to do when they requested your financial records? And he said, probably, you know, see, obviously if I was anything sketchy, but most importantly, to see how much of the lawfare I could fight off. If I had an arsenal of financials in my bank accounts, they probably wanted to size it up to see how quickly I could flip. And, you know, there were the reports that Jeff Clark was going to flip in the Fulton County investigation that was going on. I know when Jenna Ellis did shortly after, there were reports that Jeff was next. And I specifically reached out to Jeff and asked him, like, are you planning on flipping? He said, the president never did anything wrong. I never did anything wrong. There's nothing to flip on here. And anyone who tells you that they're flipping is making up a crime so that they could save themselves. So, yeah.
Same thing I heard from the Oath Keepers and a number of other people. I mean, that it's just the method they use. And with the Oath Keepers, it was, you know, very blatant. It was, okay, we're going to send you to jail for 20 years unless you tell us what we want to hear, which is that this was an insurrection and, you know, it was all organized by Stuart Rhodes or whatever. And some people did flip that way. And they don't care if it's true or not. They want somebody to testify against it. And if it's somebody who's close to the person you're trying to get, it's all the more powerful, right? This is Trump's own lawyer saying this, so it has to be true. So, I mean, this is all just gamesmanship and lawfare, and the lawfare is still going on.
Yeah, Enrique Tarrio even told me, too, the reason why, well, I assume the reason why he was given such a stiff sentence, the highest out of all, I believe it was 22 years, was because they asked him to take a plea, and in it, he had to pretend like he orchestrated January 6th with President Trump through someone third party, and because he didn't make that lie, he didn't go along with it. They threw the book at him for somebody who wasn't there that day. So the goal here, and even Stuart Rhodes, I was talking to him when he was in jail, warned me that everything that's happening to him is a blueprint for what's going to happen to President Trump next, and that's what they were looking to do here. So that's exactly what they did here. They used lawfare. They went after these people. They went after low people on totem pole as well, people who probably didn't have a lot of financials to defend all of this. We saw that in the Fulton County case. Again, nothing there. They built a RICO case out of nothing. And what's the penalty for all of this? So far, nothing.
Yeah, so far it's been nothing. What should be the penalty for this? I mean, you know, again, the whole second Trump administration has been like, yay, this is great. But where's the beef? Where's the actual, like, people going to prison? We keep getting more and more information, but information is not worth anything if it's not then used to inform the actual prosecution of the of these people and the crimes they committed. What do we need to do? What do we need to do to get this actually to get conclusions to this and punishment for this?
Yeah, I think public pressure goes a long way with this administration. Sure. So folks need to speak up on this front and not let up on it. You know, they gave us three indictments. Three people who even Tish James, I wouldn't even count her because she had nothing to do with any of this, although she had a lot to do with the ones in New York, but not this specifically. The other two were all former Republicans, served in his administration. Again, no one that the deep state has loyalty to, because they had loyalty to the deep state, I'd say. These people who are all a part of this need to be targeted. You know, I spoke with Senator Tommy Tuberville. We had him on our show, and Senator Tommy Tuberville is advocating to disbar Jack Smith. That's a great start. I like it. But the reality of it is I don't see the D.C. bar doing that. We need to go after these people. They need to be held accountable. They need to be dragged into criminal court and embarrassed. We need mugshots. We need the raids at 6 a.m. I mean, that's what they did to people. Like, I keep saying Jeff Clark, but Jeff Clark is the best example of all of this. You know, they raided his home. They wouldn't even let the guy put on pants, even though they could have just asked him to turn himself in. They wouldn't even let him put on pants. And then they released the still image of his body cam footage of one of the officers who was there. And he's in his boxers. And they did it intentionally to embarrass him. And that is a part of the lawfare here, is to really shame these people who are credible individuals.
Yeah, and it's so brutal and vicious. And I was just pulling up, you know, Giuliani disbarred in D.C. This is from all the way back in September of 2024. Here are all the other ex-Trump lawyers now facing legal consequences. So, you know, this was another strategy they pursued, was going after the lawyers to try to deny people legal representation. Like, how is that not a crime? That can't be legally allowed. You should be able to hire the lawyers that you want, but they're running an intimidation campaign to drive people away from taking on Donald Trump or anybody in the MAGA movement as a client. And that, again, is just more abuse of power, more abuse of process. And we need to see something done about all this.
Yeah, we do. And sadly, you know, Rudy Giuliani was also sued, and he really didn't have a fair case in Georgia, and they bankrupt the guy.
Yeah.
His entire life.
And it made him turn in his, like, father's watch that he inherited.
His World Series Yankee rings that he had. He had to turn those in, too. His car, I believe he also, or he might still have that one Mercedes. But everything else he's had to turn over. He's lost everything. I mean, everything, for representing a client that they didn't like. It's absolutely devastating. But he's bankrupt now from all of this. And, you know, the fact that nothing is coming of it, I don't think we're doing Giuliani any justice either.
Well, you know, the other flip side of this is that nothing came out of these investigations. And I was talking about this earlier, how same thing with Russiagate. My sort of interpretation of this is they think that we're criminals because they're criminals. And they, you know, will go and investigate Trump, assuming that they'll find something. You know, it's just a fishing expedition. But they assume that he's got to have something criminal in there. So we'll just get this surveillance. We'll spy on him and we'll find something to run on. And then they don't find anything. Seems like the same thing happened here. They had all these phone records, all these financial records. They had all of Alex Jones's cell phone, and there was nothing there. There was no crime that they could even find after all of this investigation and years of surveillance. We are not the criminals here.
Yeah, remember when they jumped Mike Lindell in the parking lot for the drive-through parking lot and grabbed his phone from him? They tried everything. I guess this really means, though, that these people really aren't criminals. So they couldn't find one crime. And there's a lot of laws in our federal government, even on our state levels. They couldn't find one charge to stick. I actually think none of these people are criminals.
That's what it appears to be. Of course, Jack Smith's a criminal and Merrick Garland's a criminal.
Yeah.
But they are just being allowed to do this. So you got 45 individuals, Steve Bannon, Scott Perry, Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark, John Eastman, Mark Meadows. I mean, these are very high up people. Who else? And then another 111 individuals. So, I mean, we're talking about over 150 people really at the highest levels of MAGA being investigated when no crime was ever even committed. I mean, just strip away all of the legalism. What this is just one party in power using the surveillance state to spy on their enemies.
Yeah. And what comes of it? Nothing. I mean, no one's really asking the tough questions here that we should be asking. I mean, these people need to go to prison for what they did. It's going to happen again. And you know, the part that really gets me fired up, Harrison, is the fact that those senators, now there's nine of them, because Ted Cruz was just also added to the list of getting their phone records, Jack Smith did, and whoever was communicating with President Trump directly. They have nine of these individuals. A lot of them are even rhinos, and they had their records taken. Lindsey Graham, who I happen to think is scum, was so angry because his records were taken and handed over. And he wanted accountability just because his records were taken. None of these other people who are, I would say, mostly are average Americans who didn't serve. You know, Steve Bannon, obviously, yeah. Bernie Kerik wasn't working in government either. Ed Martin wasn't working in government either. So there's a lot of people who weren't working in government who were targeted during all of this. Nobody's really calling for justice for any of them. I mean, these senators have some gojones on them to sit back and tell us that we should all be outraged for them because they are some special class of citizens that shouldn't be targeted by Jack Smith's office. But now we don't really hear much from them on these sound bites. They're not giving us much.
That's so true. I haven't heard Lindsey Graham, you know, give an angry, fiery speech about how Bank of America handed over every financial record to anybody who visited Washington, D.C. on January 6th. He didn't come out, you know, raging about all of the other surveillance where people were tagged for buying Bibles or shopping at Bass Pro Shop. You know, that was also an egregious violation that we don't even remember anymore because nothing ever happened because they didn't care because it wasn't them. It really is kind of sickening. But hey, I guess that's what it takes. If what it took was them being spied on, well, you've been spied on now. Time to do something. No more excuses. But, you know, what is it going to take to get these people to do something about this? I don't know. I'm just asking the same question over and over because it's just like, yeah. It's so obvious. Just like, go after these people. We don't have to tell you that. You should know this.
Yeah. Well, they're supposed to be the most powerful attorneys in the country right. now. I think that honestly that they're afraid, Harrison. I think they're afraid that if the next administration is Democrat, that all of them are going to get rounded up because it sounds like to me, people that I speak to, both Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche aren't doing anything. Things continue to fall on their desk. And although I know that they would disagree with that statement, they would say that they are overwhelmed with their work and there is a lot of work piling up on their desk. You know, I constantly am trying to advocate for even just basic pardons that I know that are pardons that are being pushed through and they're landing on Todd Blanche's desk. I've had confirmations of this. You know, we just sent a police officer to prison in the Breonna Taylor shooting who didn't shoot Taylor.
Right.
He's now receiving death threats in prison, which is also run by the DOJ. They just toss him in solitary confinement and that's it. That's their way of handling it rather than let's just pardon this guy because he's eligible. We didn't want him to go to jail in the first place, but a rogue judge sent him there. So there's a lot of things landing on Todd Blanche's and Pam Bondi's desk that just, it's like a graveyard at this point.
Yeah, they're not doing enough, and that's an understatement. I really can't figure out exactly what they are doing. I mean, it would be one
shutting
thing
down Alex Jones investigations.
Well, there you go. Right, it's like the stuff that they are doing is not good enough, and they're not doing what they should be doing. And it would be one thing if they're like, "Oh, we're overwhelmed," and every day we're delivering. But like, if you're so overwhelmed, where's one thing you've done? Yeah. Where's one case you've laid on? That would be enough to at least convince us you're doing something. Well, it's. You know, we'll keep calling for it and praying that Trump recognizes, you know, the real situation that we're in and the status of the American Republic is as tenuous as it truly is. Brianna, thank you so much for joining us again. See Brianna tomorrow morning on American Journal, 8 to 11 a.m. here on InfoWars, and follow her at Brianna Morello on X. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. We'll be right back, folks.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and in Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustain energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine Relax, wake up, clarity, and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I've never popped it on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultramethylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four is straight ahead.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.